You are listening to a sermon by Catherine Cooper, recorded on Sunday, January 24th, 2021, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
I can think of two very specific calligraphic designs that I created before Laura invited me to join West Coast Calligraphy Society, which was actually not too long after I joined Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship. The first was a sympathy card, and the second was the invitation to my brother's wedding. The invitation was to a specific event, so I had to include a defined time and place. And it is these three things intertwined that I want us to consider in light of this morning's scriptures: invitations, time, and place. And I will warn you here, I will leave with more questions than answers. Two of the scriptures this morning are about invitation. From God to Jonah to the people of Nineveh: get up, go to Nineveh, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you. And from Jesus to the fishermen: Simon called Peter, Andrew, James, and John: follow me, and I will make you fish for people. These invitations in scripture are also invitations for us now in this time. And given that it may not be as clear for us as it was for Jonah, what is God's invitation for us? I hear that invitation most clearly underneath the message that Jonah is proclaiming about Nineveh being overthrown. I hear the echo: come, change your ways, Nineveh. An invitation. We, like the people of Nineveh, are invited to change. Like the fishermen, we are invited to follow, to turn from wherever we are toward God. In his message a couple of weeks ago, Jason compared people to concrete that we set over the course of our lifetimes and we become settled. That settling makes it harder and harder to change. This is something that I have continued to think about, because if we really do progress toward a solid state and we find ourselves becoming hard, where is there room for hope? I have witnessed this idea to be true in members of my own extended family and acquaintance. People become settled, comfortable in their own ways and opinions, not changing as the world changes around them. But I have also been surprised. One story that I can share that is near and dear to me is my grandmother. In the last few years of her life, would constantly remind us that she was flexible. But when it came time to make any decisions, it was always her car, her way, her choice, her call. So flexible became a bit of a joke for my family. But she surprised us. A woman who had made racist comments every so often in her later years welcomed her Chinese granddaughter-in-law with open arms, supported my brother's choice, and rejoiced in her great-grandchildren. She surprised us. A very settled, very stubborn woman changed. There is always room for hope. No matter where we are in that process of hardening and setting, we have hope that there is still the opportunity for us to change. To turn again, ever closer. God's invitation is an open one, extended to us wherever we may be in our lives. It is one that we can choose to accept again and again, as we continue to grow in ourselves, in our faith, in our communities. So God's invitation is both like and unlike that wedding invitation I designed for my brother. This invitation is not to a specific event. We can turn again, anytime, any place. But it is also tied to time and place because we are born to a time and a place. Time is a complicated concept, and how we perceive it, incredibly variable. I had thought about making this entire message about time, but ironically did not have enough time to do so. What I will say is that time and place are two things that give us context. What are the times that we are living in? What is our context from which and in which we interpret and enact the scriptures, receive and accept God's invitation? At what times have we heard God's invitation? When we were called to baptism, or to marriage, to a job, or a friendship? When do we hear it now? When will we hear it in the years to come? If the invitation is to turn toward God, to turn again, what does that look like? The essence of the invitation brings me back to one of my favorite scripture passages, which I know I quoted the last time I spoke, but I think we can always hear again, from Micah 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? How that invitation may appear in our day-to-day lives, however, may be different depending on where we are, when we are, and who we are, with what gifts we have to give. How we answer that invitation will differ at those different points of our lives. I have found invitations to be challenging these days, particularly since the pandemic began. I struggle with the fact that I still receive invitations to social events, a potluck barbecue for the 4th of July, Thanksgiving dinner with extended family and friends, Friday after work porch parties, a return to in-person church with hymn singing. And I want to show how appreciative I am of being invited, included, thought of, but also decline gracefully because I perceive the risk of the pandemic differently, perceive my social duty of care differently than many of my colleagues and friends in Natchitoches. God's invitation too, at this time, can be hard to accept. What does it look like to turn and follow during a global pandemic, during political and social upheaval? How does one enact such a turning in a city like Vancouver or a small rural town like Natchitoches? How do we accept and act when we may already be tired and stretched thin? A conversation that comes to mind when I am frozen by the events around me, as I often am in these days and times, is from The Fellowship of the Ring by J.R.R. Tolkien. "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. Gandalf replies, "So do I, and so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." As Chan discussed in his message focused on these same books and the themes of Isaiah a few months ago, there is hope. Hope is persistent, and I would dare to add that God's invitation to turn is one of hope, to hope. Even, or even particularly, in these times that are given to us. Accepting this invitation to change, to turn, is something that we as people of faith can practice, can act on. It could be accepting small invitations, the ones that we know we can manage when we are tired and stressed, or larger invitations, the ones that we know will stretch us, either a little bit or a lot. These could be an invitation to learn, an invitation to generosity, an invitation to be vulnerable, an invitation to talk with someone we don't always agree with. Practicing ways to accept God's invitation may be a way to delay that hardening and setting that Jason talked about. Similar to how we practice music or a calligraphic hand or any other skill to build muscle memory, we can practice accepting invitation, accepting change, accepting a turn toward God. I would like to end with words from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because to me, they are a reminder that there are many points in our lives where we can hear and accept this invitation to change, to turn closer to God. These words were put to music by Pete Seeger. To everything turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And a time to every purpose under heaven. And in every time and place, we are invited.